Hello, Heat Seekers. Welcome to episode 151 of Sully's 2 Cents Fantasy Football Podcast. I am your host. I am Rob Sullivan. The Sully's 2 Cents Fantasy Football Podcast is a proud member of the Roto Heat family of podcasts. Well, week one's in the books, and as you listen to this episode, we are all busy preparing our lineups for week two. Week one was in a lot of ways a strange week full of disappointing fantasy production. One word of advice for all of you fantasy managers, relax. 1 week is not a trend, it's an outcome. Do not overreact to a strange week. Think of it this way. Now, if Aaron Rodgers had a bad week in, say, week six, are you going to be worried about him in week seven? Probably not. So don't worry about him this week. By the way, last season in week six at Tampa Bay, Aaron Rodgers got you 5.8 fantasy points. The following week, he went out and went 23 of 34 with 4 touchdown passes and scored 27.32 fantasy points. From week 7 through 16 a year ago, he averaged 25.42 points per week, the most of any quarterback during that stretch. Get my point? It's only 1 week. Good fantasy assets are good fantasy assets for a reason. They deliver you a quality start more often than not. So stay the course and trust your process. The odds that any of us go 14-0 this season are remote. And the reality is, who cares? It's the last fantasy matchup of the season you need to win, not the first one. Looking back at last week and my starts and sits, I got some calls right. And I got some calls wrong. That is a trend that exceeds as far back as I can remember, and a trend that will continue indefinitely. None of us get this right all the time. And if I did, well, let's just say I probably wouldn't be doing what I currently do for a living. Jalen Hurts was my start of the week last week, and he delivered with 28.8 fantasy points and a QB6 finish. At quarterback, I had you start Ryan Tannehill, Sam Darnold, and Trevor Lawrence, and I had you sit Jameis Winston, Tua Tagovailoa, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. Tannehill disappointed with his QB24 finish. Darnold was not quite as good as I had anticipated, finishing at QB17. And T-Law used garbage time to get us where I thought he would, and that is QB12. Jameis Winston, on the other hand, came out of nowhere and finished as QB4. Tua I got right at QB22, and sadly Ryan Fitzpatrick may be right by getting injured and finishing as QB36. Now my running back sits in a word for hot garbage. I had you starting James Robinson, Raheem Mostert, and Sony Michel. James Robinson had some questionable usage and ended up as RB37. And Raheem Mostert and Sony Michel combined for 3 carries and were RB64 and RB81 respectively. My sits were better calls with one glaring exception, DeAndre Swift. He was RB4, while my other sits, Javonte Williams and Miles Gaskin, delivered at RB43 and RB31. Now, my wide receiver calls weren't great, and my tight end calls weren't either. Overall, of the 25 start-sit recommendations I gave you in week one, I was correct on 12 of them, 48%. That is not good enough, and I vow to get better. The key in all this, in my opinion, is you make the decision here. Don't take my word or any other analyst's word for it. Spoiler alert, the so-called big guys in this industry, well, they were wrong more than they were right as well, except they likely don't admit it. Trust your gut. It's your fantasy team. I am more than happy to help if I can. All right, let's move on from week one and into week two. Here are some key injuries and some news items to chew on when you're making your roster decisions this week. Players already out include Will Fuller, Josh Jacobs, Odell Beckham, and Tyrell Williams. I may be missing a few here, so do what I do and check Ian Rappaport and Adam Scheffner's Twitter accounts this evening and prior to game time. They will give you all the pertinent information on their accounts. Fuller being out may breathe some life into tight end Mike Gesicki this week, but it's Jalen Waddle who I see getting a lift versus Buffalo. And I kind of like Miles Gaskin here as well this week. Josh Jacobs being out helps Kenyon Drake. and it allows for John Gruden to dust off Peyton Barber and roll him out there for early down work. I don't like either of them against Pittsburgh this week, but in a PPR scoring format, Drake should get you enough work in the passing game to be a flex type play. Odell Beckham Jr. sadly is out again, as this would have been an ideal matchup to fire him up in. Houston is terrible. Don't let the week one win fool you. In OBJ's absence, the public will likely move to rookie wide receiver Anthony Schwartz, and I will pivot to Donovan Peoples-Jones. Schwartz has a slight hamstring injury, and Donovan Peoples-Jones actually played more snaps and ran more routes than Schwartz in week one. It was Schwartz's 3 catches for 69 yards that got him all the headlines. Tyrell Williams being out saves you from having to start Tyrell Williams on Monday night versus the Green Bay Packers. Sit everyone in Detroit, not named Swift, Williams, and Hawkinson. All right, so week two, my starts and sits. We'll get it going with my start of the week, and that is Cleveland Browns running back Nick Chubb. So last week in Kansas City, Chubb played 53% of the snaps, basically 31 snaps, and he had 17 touches that he turned into 101 scrimmage yards, 2 touchdowns, 22.1 PPR points, and an RB5 finish. Simply put, Nick Chubb is one of the best pure running backs in the NFL, if not the best. Since returning to the Browns lineup in week 9 after his knee injury last season, Chubb has averaged 18.84 PPR points a game, and he's the RB5 in PPR scoring. In week 2, Chubb and his Browns teammates host the Houston Texans. Last season, the Texans allowed the most rushing yards to the running back in the NFL. They gave up 2,206 yards on the ground, as well as 20 scores. In addition to all those yards and touchdowns, the Texans gave up 31.8 PPR points to the running back position, second worst in the league. Last week, Houston allowed 69 rushing yards to the Jacksonville Jaguars, second lowest among all the defenses last week, as the Jags only ran 14 times. The Browns will attack the Texans with a balanced approach that will use the run game to set up their play-action passing. Nick Chubb should be able to gain plenty of yards in this one, in addition to finding the end zone. In my opinion, Nick Chubb is a slam dunk start this week, and if you need help at the running back position, his teammate Kareem Hunt is not a bad choice either. Looking at the quarterback position, I'm going to stay in Cleveland and I'm starting Baker Mayfield. He put up 13.64 fantasy points in the season opener against the Chiefs, and that landed him at QB27. The thing is, Baker looked way better than those fantasy totals indicate. He completed 21 of his 28 attempts for 321 yards, no touchdowns, and 1 interception. All Baker was missing was the touchdowns, as the Browns scored 4 times on the ground in this one. Week 2 against Houston shapes up as a good matchup for Mayfield and the Browns. The Texans allowed 22.08 points to rookie quarterback Trevor Lawrence last week and have given up around 20 points a game to opposing quarterbacks in their last 10 games dating back to last season. Baker won't have to throw a lot, but I expect him to be efficient when he does and for the touchdowns to come this week. I'm going to start Baker with confidence in week 2. I'm also starting Matthew Stafford of the Los Angeles Rams. So Stafford delivered as advertised in the season opener against the Bears, going 20 of 26 for 321 yards and 3 touchdowns. Good for 24.34 fantasy points and a QB10 finish. The matchup on the road versus the Indianapolis Colts doesn't seem like an ideal situation to start Stafford. The reality is the Rams very well may be defensive proof with Stafford under center and all their weapons. In addition, the Colts have struggled in their last 10 games. They have allowed an average of 20 fantasy points to the quarterback. Last week, they were beaten to the tune of 20.06 points by Russell Wilson when he threw for 254-4. Stafford looked like an every week starting quarterback against the Bears in the opener. And as a result, I'm going to treat him like one and start him in Indy. And I'm going to start Jameis Winston. When I saw that Winston threw for 5 touchdowns in week 1 against the Packers, I figured, you know, this is an accomplishment that Jameis Winston has probably done many times in his 6-year career. I also figured that those 5 touchdown games that he had likely had a bunch of interceptions mixed in there as well. Well, much to my surprise when I did the research, Winston has only had 1 previous 5 touchdown game on his resume. That came back in week 10 of his 2015 rookie season. And even more surprising, The former 30-30 man didn't throw a pick in that one either. I wasn't sure what to expect from Jameis Winston in his first start as a Saint, but I can assure you that it wasn't 5 touchdown passes on only 14 completions. As a result of this ultra-efficient outing, Winston is back on the starting quarterback radar. He should be started in all Superflex and 2 quarterback leagues this weekend when the Saints visit Carolina. In their last 9 games dating back to 2020, the Panthers' passing defense has surrendered 21 passes to opposing quarterbacks. Quarterbacks I'm sitting in week 2. We'll start it off with Matt Ryan of the Atlanta Falcons. So raise your hand if you're concerned about this Atlanta Falcons offense. All right, with your hand firmly in the air, please know that you're not alone. Matt Ryan and the Falcons offense looked terrible last week against an average at best Philadelphia Eagles defense. In week 2, Atlanta travels to Tampa Bay to face the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Falcons' offensive line struggled last week, and now they face one of the best front 7 units in the league. After seeing them struggle against the Eagles, it's extremely hard to trust this offense in week 2. Matt Ryan has been bad in games without Julio Jones, and he has hit 18 fantasy points in just 3 of his career starts against Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay. He's a very, very easy sit for me this week. I'm also sitting Tua Tagovailoa of the Miami Dolphins. Now, I've been rather vocal that I like Tua and I expect him to have a much better season in year 2 than he did in year 1. But that doesn't mean I have to use him as a week-in, week-out starter. In week 2, he faces the Buffalo Bills, and I have him on my bench. The Bills bottled up a really good Pittsburgh offense in week 1, and they've allowed 12 touchdown passes and an average of fewer than 17 fantasy points to the quarterback position in their last 9 games. Tua will have his day, but it just won't be this Sunday. And I'm also sitting Carson Wentz of the Indianapolis Colts. Wentz, you know, he had a good Colts debut, all things considered. He missed a good portion of training camp with his foot injury in a time that he needed on the field to gel with his new pass catchers. Last week against Seattle, he did throw for 251 yards with 2 touchdowns. He put up a modest 18.34 fantasy points that got him a QB19 finish. Now, week 2's opponent is much tougher than week 1's. The matchup with the Los Angeles Rams is going to be tough. The Colts' offensive line struggled last week, and this week they get to deal with Aaron Donald. The Rams' defense is one of the best in the league, and they have allowed only 8 touchdown passes and an average of 12.2 fantasy points in their last 9 games to the opposing quarterback. Carson Wentz is on my bench this week. All right, looking at the running backs and needing to do much better than we did last week, we'll start Najee Harris of the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Najee Harris entered the NFL draft with some expectations that he would be one of the first running backs selected. And after the Pittsburgh Steelers called his name in round 1, his expectation for fantasy production reached an elevated level. In week 1, Harris's production failed to meet the expectations that came along with his average draft position. Najee put up just 5.9 PPR points and he finished as RB45. I understand a fantasy manager's disappointment, but don't let week 1 influence your decision here in week 2. Najee Harris played all 58 of the Steelers' offensive snaps versus Buffalo, and this week's matchup against the Raiders is far more favorable. Start Najee Harris this week, as he has top 12 upside at the position. I'm also going to start Chase Edmonds of the Arizona Cardinals. Edmonds produced 14.6 fantasy points in his season opener, and he and his fellow teammate James Conner both had a 29% share of the touches against the Tennessee Titans. I like Edmonds as a back-end RB2 sort of flex play this week against the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings defense was rumored to be better entering 2021, and this Vikings fan can tell you that it wasn't, and it probably isn't. It certainly didn't look that way in their week 1 loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Mixon popped off for 25 PPR points. The reality is the Vikings have surrendered 15 total touchdowns and the 6th most fantasy points to opposing running backs over their last 10 games. Start Chase Edmonds, and if you need to, start James Conner as well. And I'm also going to start Damian Harris of the New England Patriots, and I know what you're thinking here. Starting a New England Patriots running back can drive a fantasy manager mad. I get it. Especially one that cost his team the game last week with a late fumble in the red zone. But hear me out. You should start Damian Harris in week 2. He looked good last week against the Dolphins. He ran for 100 yards, and he saw 43% of the Patriots' backfield touches. The fumble? Well, it could absolutely reduce his workload in week two, but I still see him as a flex play at worst. The Patriots have a matchup of the New York Jets in week two, and the Jets' defense has allowed 132 scrimmage yards per game to opposing running backs since week nine last year. Harris is comfortably in my week two lineups. I am sitting Mike Davis of the Atlanta Falcons. I mentioned when discussing Matt Ryan that I'm concerned with the Atlanta offense. That includes Mike Davis. Davis ran 15 times for 49 yards in week one versus the Eagles, and now he matches up with the league's best run defense in Tampa Bay. In addition, Wayne Gallman is likely to be active in this one and is even more likely to mix in when Davis struggles. On top of that, Cordarrelle Patterson outrushed Mike Davis by 5 yards on 8 less carries in week one. My alarm bells are going off with Mike Davis and the Atlanta Falcons offense, and that makes Mike Davis a rather easy sit for me in week two. And I'm sitting Leonard Fournette of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Look, I have no idea what's going on in the Tampa backfield. In week one, Ronald Jones had 4 carries for 14 yards, lost a fumble, and was stapled to the bench for the rest of the game, creating a great opportunity for Leonard Fournette, and he turned that into 9 carries for 32 yards. Earlier this week, for some reason, Bruce Arians announced that Rojo is his starter, and in a juicy matchup against Atlanta, he could very well deliver. Last week, Miles Sanders and Kenneth Gainwell combined for 111 yards on 24 carries. If Arians goes with the hot hand in this one, Leonard Fournette might struggle for carries as Ronald Jones excels against this terrible defense. I don't want to start any of them, but I'm absolutely sitting Leonard Fournette. At the wide receiver position, let's start Deebo Samuel of the San Francisco 49ers. When I was working on my week one rankings, I figured that Brandon Ayuk would be the San Francisco 49ers receiver to dominate the Detroit Lions, not Deebo Samuel. Clearly that was not the case. Deebo Samuel led the Niners in snaps with 84, targets of 12, and fantasy points with 31.9. Brandon Ayuk, well, he posted a donut. Now look, Ayuk likely isn't 100%, and it appears that he's somewhat in Kyle Shanahan's doghouse. I don't really think he is. I just think it's Shanahan's way of motivating Ayuk to be better. Deebo Samuel is the wide receiver with a higher ceiling and a higher floor in week two against Philadelphia. That makes him an easy start for me this week. I'm also going to start Antonio Brown of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, Antonio Brown was the third Tampa Bay wide receiver selected in fantasy drafts this season, yet he led the trio of talented wide receivers in fantasy points in the opener. Against the anemic Atlanta defense, expect Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Brown to all be solid options this week when Tampa Bay hosts Atlanta. Their defense has surrendered the third most fantasy points to wide receivers since week 9 in 2020, including 41.3 points to the Eagles last week. I boldly predicted that Antonio Brown would be the Bucs' top wide receiver this season, so I'll pick him to start here. And I'm also starting Cortland Sutton of the Denver Broncos. The unfortunate injury to second-year wide receiver Jerry Jeudy that will likely keep Jeudy out of the Broncos lineup for the next 6 to 8 weeks opens the door wide for Cortland Sutton. Sutton was only targeted 3 times in the opener, but he did leave the Broncos wideouts in snaps, playing 53% of them. Sutton and the Broncos get the Jacksonville Jaguars in week two, a defense that just gave up 291 yards to Tyrod Taylor and the Houston Texans a week ago. The Jaguars have also given up 13 touchdowns and an average of 38.4 points to wide receivers in their last 10 games. Cortland Sutton belongs in your starting lineups this week. I am sitting Marquise Brown of the Baltimore Ravens. Brown had a much better game than I anticipated on Monday night. He scored a touchdown and put up 19.4 fantasy points in the Ravens' crazy overtime loss to Las Vegas. Not to discredit the solid outing, but I'm not going to go chasing the points in a tough matchup against the Chiefs on Sunday. Their defense has allowed the 6th fewest fantasy points to wide receivers in their last 9 games, as well as the 4th fewest yards per game. In addition, Brown has a bum ankle that has held him out of practice for most of the week. Look elsewhere for wide receiver help this week. I'm also sitting Michael Pittman Jr. of the Indianapolis Colts. Pittman was a popular streaming option last week, and he failed to deliver. Pittman finished week one with just 3 catches on 4 targets for 29 yards in the loss to the Seahawks. In week two, The Rams and cornerback Jalen Ramsey come to town. This is not good news for the Colts, and it's not good news for Michael Pittman Jr. The Rams are a much more difficult defense to deal with than the Seahawks. Dating back to week 9 a year ago, LA has allowed just 3 touchdowns and the second fewest fantasy points to enemy wide receivers. Sit all of your Colts pass catchers in week 2, including Michael Pittman Jr. We'll wrap this episode up with the tight end position. My first start this week is Jonnu Smith of the New England Patriots. Now, this one comes with a little bit of an asterisk, as Jonnu Smith has been limited in practice this week and is questionable to go in week 2. Ultimately, I believe that he does go in week 2. The New England Patriots are notorious for basically listing everyone, including Bill Belichick's dog, as questionable on a week-to-week basis. The Patriots had Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry on the field a lot together in week 1 against the Dolphins. Jonnu played 73% of the snaps and Hunter played 72% of them. I would anticipate that this is the game plan probably for the majority of the Patriots matchups in 2021. This team wants to build off of the run, so 2 tight end sets make a lot of sense. Last Sunday, Jonnu had the better fantasy day of the 2 tight ends, as I would anticipate. He does that again this week. Last week, he had 5 catches for 42 yards on 5 targets, while Hunter Henry had 3 catches for 31 on his 3 targets. The catch percentage by the tight end in New England is as good as it gets. The Jets defended the tight end well in week 1, but with all due respect to Dan Arnold and Ian Thomas, the Patriots duo was vastly superior. In 2020, the Jets were the worst at defending the tight end position. Over the course of the season, they allowed 91 catches, 1,105 yards, and 14 touchdowns to opposing tight ends. Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry could both be starters this week. I personally prefer the versatility and the after-the-catch ability of Jonnu Smith, and as a result, he's my starting tight end this week. I'm also starting Cole Kmet of the Chicago Bears. All offseason, I have been hearing from RotoHeat founder Rick Butts, look out for Cole Kmet in 2021. The Bears are going to target him a ton this year. Now, I should say that I didn't agree with Rick, and without overreacting too much to week 1, I think I've come around to his way of thinking. Kmet was impressive against the Rams with 5 catches for 42 yards on 7 targets. He tied with wide receiver Darnell Mooney for the second on the team in targets, behind wide receiver Allen Robinson, who led the way with 11. Kmet, as Rick said, should be targeted heavily, regardless if the Bears continue with Andy Dalton or transition like they should to rookie Justin Fields at quarterback moving forward. The Bengals allowed 14.7 points to the tight end last season, 7th worst in the league, and allowed Vikings tight end Tyler Conklin to haul in all 4 of his targets a week ago. Cole Kmet has top 12 upside in this one, so get him into your lineups. And I'm also starting Noah Fant of the Denver Broncos. So Noah Fant, much like Cortland Sutton, should benefit from the injury to wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. Fant played well in week 1. I had him as a sit and he proved me wrong. He hauled in 6 passes for 62 yards on 8 targets last week against the Giants. The Jaguars struggled with converted wide receiver Faron Brown in week 1, and he had 4 catches for 67 yards on 5 targets. Fant should eclipse those numbers as the go-to guy for Teddy Bridgewater this week. Start Fant with confidence. Sit Mike Gesicki. Now, I know I mentioned that Will Fuller is out this week. I'm still concerned about Mike Gesicki's role in this offense. If you started him last week, you don't need me to tell you to sit him again this week against the Buffalo Bills. The Dolphins tight end got you as many fantasy points in his opener as I did. Spoiler alert, that's not good. The most alarming part when it comes to Gesicki was his lack of involvement in the Dolphins game plan. He played fewer snaps than Durham Smythe. Gesicki played 21, Smythe played 38. Gesicki was only targeted twice, catching neither of them. Part of that was by design, because the Dolphins needed more of a blocking presence, which likely continues again this week against Buffalo. I recommend sitting Gesicki here and look for a better matchup to get him back into your lineup. I'm also sitting Eric Ebron of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ebron ended up playing fewer snaps than rookie Pat Freiermuth, 29-27 in week 1 at Buffalo, and that could be a sign of things to come. Neither tight end did much with their time on the field, as they combined for 2 catches and 43 yards on only 3 targets. And this is a situation to avoid for now. For what it's worth, the Raiders also held Ravens tight end Mark Andrews to 3 catches for 20 yards on his 5 targets on Monday night. I like the Steelers' run game and the Steelers' wide receivers a lot this week. I really have no interest in their tight ends, so sit Eric Ebron. And my final sit is Austin Hooper of the Cleveland Browns. I had Austin Hooper as a start last week. And early on in that game against the Chiefs, I was looking like a genius. Hooper had 3 targets, 3 catches, and 27 yards in the first quarter. The problem here is that's all he had. Hooper wasn't the featured tight end for the Browns in week 1. Surprisingly, it was David Njoku. Njoku out-targeted Hooper 5-4-0, gained him 73-27. This is not a declaration that David Njoku is back on the fantasy map, as the reality is the Browns have 3 good tight ends in Njoku, Hooper, and Harrison Bryant. Any given week, it could be any of the 3 that rise up. Kevin Stefanski loves his 2 tight end sets and his play-action passing built off the run. We don't know who the tight end is going to be that sees the most targets on a weekly basis. I kind of like Njoku again, but I don't trust any of them, so I'm going to leave them all on the bench, and that includes Austin Hooper. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you've yet to subscribe to the Sully's 2 Cents Fantasy Football Podcast, you can do so by searching for it pretty much anywhere podcasts can be found. In addition, you can find me on Twitter at RotoHeatSully. I'm in both the RotoHeat Dynasty Fantasy Football Community and the RotoHeat Redraft Fantasy Football Community over on Facebook. And if you're in our Discord channel, you can find me at Sully. Don't forget to join Brad Menendez and I every Sunday night and every Tuesday night over on the RotoHeat YouTube channel. As Sunday night, we bring you the weekly waiver wire pickups, and on Tuesday night, we bring you the Dynasty Heat Seekers at 9:30 Eastern. We've had great guests all season long, including Scott Fish, J.J. Zacharias, and Paul Charchian. And I am pleased to say that for the conclusion of the season, we will pair up, Brad and I, with RotoHeat's own Anthony Leone on Tuesday nights. I'll be back next week recapping my week 2 starts and sits and giving you a look ahead at week 3. Until then, good luck in week 2. Stay safe, stay healthy, and take care.